I'm Josie Long.
You're Josie Long, I'm Andrew Collins.
That's not going to change.
That's never going to change, no. Unless you get married.
Let's not talk about that so early in the morning, shall we, please? Thank you.
I would imagine you would keep your own name.
Of course I would.
Of course you would. You're a modern woman.
Absolutely.
So last week, Josie, on the programme, we played Echo Beach by Martha and the Muffins, which you claim to have not heard before until that point.
It's not a claim, it's the truth.
It's the truth. Here's another playing of Martha and the Muffins' Echo Beach. This morning, when I arrived to do the BBC Radio 2 breakfast show, or guest on it anyway, at 5 to 7, I entered the studio where Zoe Ball normally sits, but she's away at a festival, Lynn Parsons filling in, and I saw through the glass this song was playing, Echo Beach, and both of the producer and the presenter were on their feet dancing to Echo Beach.
Oh.
At 5 to 7 in the morning. That is pretty good going, isn't it?
Wow.
The infectious power of Echo Beach.
The worst part is that would be a party I'd feel distinctly uncomfortable at. I want to dance, but I don't know when the chorus is, and I don't really understand. So I'm sorry that I didn't know Echo Beach.
I felt bad to not join in, but I just couldn't. I just couldn't.
Oh, you were too shy.
Yeah, well, it was 5 to 7 in the morning. You're allowed to be shy at that earlier, aren't you?
If anything, that's the time not to be shy. That's because there's no one around. That's the best time.
True, actually.
Walking through the streets, you could dance all alone.
I saw the other day. I saw a man walking along with a full length umbrella, which was folded up because it wasn't raining, and he was practicing his golf swing with it, completely unselfconsciously in the street.
Oh wow! Yeah. He must be really impressed by his golf swing. Just like, this is what people want to see, right?
Maybe he was a golfer. I don't know. So let's play Little Dragon, who are in the week on Six Music with Lauren Laverne, and then we'll tell you what's on the show.
That was The National with Blood Buzz Ohio.
Yeah.
That's my admin, record admin.
Admin housekeeping. Before that, Little Dragon, Ritual Union. And we started the show, which pleased a lot of people on Twitter. They were very excited about it. Pop Will Eat Itself, DEFCON 1.
I was really excited to be playing that.
Fantastic, fantastic. And it's a Liszt song, which is good, because a very early interview when I was very much a green cub reporter at the NME, I had to go and interview Clint Mansell and ask him just to run through all the things that are in the lyric of that song. So it was a really easy interview, but it meant I got to meet one of Pop Will Eat Itself.
And what was he like? Was he nice?
Of course he is. And I haven't seen him for a long time, but now he's established himself as one of the key film music composers in Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Which is
terrifying.
Astonishing. I bet he's exactly the same. I bet he hasn't lost his West Midlands accent.
Oh, I'd love that.
I hope I'm right.
In a meeting with Harvey Weinstein, all right, Harvey.
Yeah, great. What a lovely man. So we should tell you what's in the show, shouldn't we? We are going to reactivate what would have been the question we threw out last week, but it got usurped. It got eclipsed by a moment of
silliness. Charity aids.
Yeah, they ended up doing rhyming charity initiatives, which, frankly, there's no one, that would have never come up in a meeting. It just came up from conversation about the Mitford sisters. But we'll throw it out again, because already people are starting to tweet this. And if you want to follow us on Twitter, don't go to our individual Twitter accounts. Go to the official one. It's much easier for everybody. It's better for admin and housekeeping. What is it? BBC
Six Music Satan.
Satan with an M rather
than
an
M.
Sat A-M. Go there. People are already doing it. We want to know what the oddest job you had, Bob, because last week I heard in the cab on the way here very early in the morning, Farming Today. In fact, I think it's Farming Today this week. It seems odd, but I think that's what it was. Anyway, they had a man on whose job it was to blow dry spinach whilst harvesting spinach. This is new to you, Lucy, because you weren't here last week. When harvesting spinach, one man's job, it could be a woman's job, a person's job, is to go with a big hairdryer and dry it so that when it's harvested, it hasn't got lots of water on it. That is his or her entire job. And I like that. I thought that was really sweet. At least you could explain it very quickly in the pub or a dinner party. Sometimes you've got job titles that are very complicated.
But the thing is, it's never going to be quick, is it? You're sitting around at a dinner party. What do? I blow dry spinach. Oh, sure. What do? It's never going to move on. True. Okay, yeah, that's normal to me. Yeah. What do? Primary school teacher, tell me more about that. It's not going to
How does that work?
Like that.
What do you actually do?
I was reminded, because you were talking about the man doing the golf swing. This week I've really, really been into my running. I like running, deal with it. And mostly during the day, when I'm going around London, I've been opportunistically running as much as possible, especially on the tube. In Highbury and Islington Tube Station, which is one of my local tube stations, I
deal
like
with that as well.
Deal with that, eh? London, greatest city in the world, mate. And I run as fast as I can, sort of up and down and in between people in the corridors. And I like to pretend that I'm in a computer game and that I'm sort of negotiating it.
That's good. That's good. I am like a character in a computer game because I walk massively fast. I walk faster than anybody else on the platform at any given time. I have the fastest walk. Not to be...
Do you pride yourself?
I'm not competitive. I just happen to have a really fast walk. And I, you know, and so if I'm walking, you know, in a computer game, if you hit a wall, your character hits a wall and you keep... pushing.
Keep trying.
That's me. If I hit anything solid, I just keep going until eventually I can get past. That is what I'm like. Really annoying.
He did a really excellent mime while he was talking about that.
That was a good mime. Really good for radio. It's the best skill you could have on radio. That's how I've got this far.
But does anyone else... I'd like to know if anyone listening does similar things in terms of negotiating cities, especially. Like,
yeah,
do you think you're in a computer game? I sometimes like to pretend that I'm negotiating the apocalypse. Like, that there's a zombie invasion, and if I don't get beyond people, I've got to get out.
That's fair enough, but if it's an apocalypse, then what are you planning to do at the other end of it?
Well, you know, get to my house.
Play a record that you like?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
At least to leave this world with dignity.
That's all that matters. That is all that matters. So get in touch using my email address, because it's easier, andrew.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk.
Or you can text in.
Either running and dealing with urban situations or odd jobs you've had. There are a few coming in on Twitter already. This is from Gav451. You can tell that's on Twitter, who said, I was once a bottle hitter on a night production line. I had a stick and I had to hit bottles when they were stuck.
Oh,
see,
wow.
You don't need to know anymore. That is a perfect
That's
visual.
A job and a half.
Yeah, so that's what we want.
My friend has got a job, had a job this week, which I shall tell you about after this next song.
That is so professional. Right, Scott Walker, Montague Terrace in Blue. Beautiful tune.
So the job that my friend had, and that was Don't Play No Game That I Can't Win, The Beast of Wars and Santa God, there you go. The job that my friend had was, this week he was paid by Avaz.org, who are a campaigning organisation, to follow around Rupert Murdoch wearing a giant papier-mâché Rupert Murdoch head.
Was paid to do that. Yeah, that's good.
That is an unusual job.
It is. Not as good or bad, I don't know. Laura had to dress up as a banana, quite similar, when she worked at a...
But did she have to follow Rupert Murdoch around?
I think she just has to follow other fruit around. I don't know. It was in a juice bar. So your odd jobs is what we need today. Odd things that you have been paid, even badly, to do. It doesn't matter. There's obviously going to happen. Beady Face KK, who's on Twitter, had to pick the legs and eyes off prawns in a chilled food factory. There was going to be a bit of that, but we don't necessarily want disgusting jobs, just odd jobs, really. Odd jobs.
I once had to give out leaflets in a shopping centre to tell people there was an identical shopping centre next door to the shopping centre they were already in, which had the same shops in it.
Wow, that was existential.
It was tricky.
Was your employer Franz Kafka?
He was.
Yeah. Oh, that's... How about that?
But I never saw him, and I couldn't understand how I got paid.
And it was really hard to get into his office. I once wrote jokes for Pete Tong, the well-known dance music DJ, when he had to present some dance awards. So I had to write some jokes for a man about dance music. God, I'm glad I wasn't there.
Can you remember any of them?
No, I can't. I really can't. Can you imagine the amount of tumbleweeds that must have been blowing through the room when he read out my jokes about dance music? Oh. Pete Tong doesn't need someone to write stuff for him anyway.
He's got the name.
Yeah, exactly. He is.
Do 5 minutes on the name.
He's a legend. This is Fool's Gold, not the song. The artiste Fool's Gold.
I really like the lyrics of that song. No, you've not ruined me yet, despite all of your best efforts. Yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm also quite enjoying the fact that there's a few bands named after songs and after song lyrics. I like We Break Horses because I love Smog.
So, and not everybody would recognise that they're named after a Smog song, but that makes you even smugger.
It makes me very smug.
Smug for liking Smog. So after the news, we'll be back with the first of our regular features, which is Geek of the Week. And yes, we have a geek lined
We're
up.
We're going to be, after we spoke to the Geek of the Week last week. It doesn't work with the past tense. We are going to speak to the Geek of the Week again.
After the news.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
Newspapers, print.
Hello again. I'm Josie Longstill.
Still. Yep. Yeah, I'm Andrew Collins. Still. And this is 6 Music Still. That was Leaky Lee. Still, and the Pigeon Detectives before that. And we're after a lot of stuff from you today. We're quite a demanding programme, but I think that's okay, because you like to give, you give, 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 you never take. And we want to know what your oddest job was, which is not necessarily the most unpleasant job you've ever had. It doesn't always have to involve picking bits off animals. It can be just a silly job that you've had. That's fine as well. Quite a lot of people, it turns out, had to dress up as things. So that's nice. That's a nice little thread. But also, Josie, you're interested in people who run while they're in crowded places.
I sort of am interested in the games you play to get through the day, because I've got a brilliant friend called Hattie, and she sort of is the person that she goes running in the park and she likes to imagine everyone else is zombies, just to kind of get through the run. And she taught me about sort of playing games for yourself to make your life more interesting, so that's why I like going running. And there's loads of people who also do that around London. Like this person says, Highbury and Islington is also where I dodge commuters computer game style. We must have played against each other, Tori. What you're saying is you must have lost to me, Tori. You have no idea how good I am. This person has started their message in a really jolly way, which is like, hi there kids.
That's nice.
Hi, right back, Heather.
Hello.
I used to live in Tokyo, which is a lot like being in a computer game to start with.
Yeah.
And I had to negotiate Shinjuku Station during rush hour on my way to work. I used to try to get from my platform to the other platform without physically touching anyone else.
Wow.
I rarely manage. That's an amazing game.
Oh,
that's a good game to play in cities, because you'd be like dodging and people would think, who is this psychopath? this person says, I walk really fast and like to pretend I'm in the Matrix by seeing everyone else in slow-mo.
Yeah.
I anticipate the moves and paths of people and slip through gaps with perfect timing and finesse. Joe and Clapton.
I think it is actually amazing, especially when you walk through a crowded concourse of a mainline station. Doesn't matter where you are, really. If it's crowded, you're walking through. And by and large, you don't walk straight into someone, as a general rule. So we, as a species, somehow or other, have worked out ways to not just run straight into each other. And the chances of it happening seem to be quite high.
But you do know that ants do that as well. Like, it's not remarkable that human beings do it.
Yeah, but human beings are idiots.
Ants
are clever.
Thicker than ants.
Idiots. Ants are not as distracted as we are. That's what I'm saying. Ants haven't got phones, for a start.
That's true, they haven't got the internet. Have got the internet, but they don't tap into it.
No, it's all in their brains. And they don't have to look at the departure boards. Whereas people are looking up at the departure boards, they're looking down at their phones, they're looking to try and avoid the gaze of someone else. The amount of times you should bang into someone, like, you know, forehead to forehead, it never happens, does it?
No.
I think that's remarkable. I think we should be very proud of ourselves. So if you've got anything to add to this matter of being in computer games, getting through the day, or having an odd job,
get in touch. Also, I'd like to say, for the last 2 weeks, we have had texts from a baby. And this week, Maya Holcomb, the baby that sponsors the show.
Yeah.
What else is she doing? She hasn't texted us. And it's like, we were there from the start. And what else is she doing? Like, looking at a mobile?
They're so fickle, babies. So
chewing on a thing.
She was 29 days old the first week.
29 hours old.
29 hours old. Heavens above. 29 hours old. Last week she was a week and 29 hours old. She's only 2 weeks and 29 hours
old. What's she doing? Learning to smile? Why is she so busy?
Maya, where are you? Get in touch. Andrew.6music@bbc.co.uk. 60460 text. Are we going to play something you really like?
Oh, I'm so happy about this. This is one of my favourite songs in the world. And I was thinking today's a bit subdued as a morning. It's a bit gloomy down in London.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's probably gloomy all over the British Isles. And this song never ceases to cheer me up. My mum used to play it to me when I was a kid. And I think this will start us off lovely.
Brilliant.
Starts. Oh, I love that song.
That's made everything better at Latitude. I think all the clouds have passed, apparently, Latitude, and it's just sunny now.
I hope so. All those music fans being punished.
Yeah.
Somebody's responded to you just quickly, Andrew. Not walking into each other, setting the bar high for humankind.
Well, do you know, you've got to start low and then work your way up. I think we need to re-evolve as a species. That's what I think, actually. Let's play a session track recorded for Six Music last year, in fact, by Dan Lesak and Scroobius Pip. And then song after it, we'll have Geek of the Week on the phone. We're going to speak to the Geek of the Week. How about that? Archive session track.
That's Faithless and that's Don't Leave.
Lovely.
Lovely gentle song for this time in the morning.
Yeah, Dan Lesak and Scroobius Pip before it.
Oh, they're so good.
They are. That was them and Kid A performing on Six Music in October 2010.
Oh, so long ago.
Make another album, please.
I think Scroobius Pip is about to release a solo album.
Wow.
I'm pretty certain.
Wow. Let's hope so. So last week, if you were listening to us, we presented our very first live Geek of the Week, which was Heather, who, among other things, had embroidered the Vincent van Gogh TARDIS
Doctor Who episode.
Picture and shared it with someone via an international craft sharing organisation. It was just brilliant.
I mean, that is the centre of one of the best Venn diagrams you could possibly imagine.
Embroidery, sharing stuff, Doctor Who.
Vincent Van Gogh.
But we have found our second Geek of the Week.
You may not have a six-pack, you may not have physique, you may not have the body of a god, a god who's great, but you can work my smartphone, you have that nerve mystique. You are my Geek of the Week. You are my Geek of the Week. Geek of the Week.
Jim Unwin, are you with us?
I am. Hello.
Good morning to you, Jim. We're delighted to speak to you.
Hello.
Are you proud to be our Geek of the Week this week?
I am, yeah. That's what a rare honour it is.
It's a handy to know because just to set this up, last week your partner, Lucy, nominated you, presumably with your knowledge or without your knowledge, as Geek of the Week?
Without my knowledge, right.
And how do you feel? How do you feel about having been nominated by her?
Kind of chuffed.
Oh, that's so good.
Correct.
I should go out and do it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's good. It's all good.
And ironically, Lucy used to work at Sex Music and may well work here again. So we just should say that in case anyone thinks nepotism afoot. It's lovely because we looked at your website, which he pointed us at, and indeed, you are a worthy Geek of the Week. I'll explain your website. We'll put a link immediately up on our Twitter page so people can go there straight away. But it is, and tell me if I'm not doing it justice, it is a celebration. A heartfelt and beautifully rendered celebration of the chairs in the film The Incredibles, the Pixar animation The Incredibles. That's exactly what we're looking at here, isn't it?
That is spot on.
Why?
I was researching the film, or doing some research on the film for work, and kind of watching through it on a DVD, my headphones on, and pausing it and looking for scenes, and just one chair and thought, oh, that's really nice. And then once you've noticed one chair, you start noticing the other chairs and you realise that they're all just really beautifully designed and kind of... There's obviously, it's one of these things, they're not like incidental detail. Somebody's put like a real kind of passion and love into just in such a kind of an incidental detail of the film.
Can I ask you two questions, right? One, are you normally a chairman?
No.
So that's...
Actually, since I started kind of, since I did the kind of website, I started looking at chairs in a new light, I suppose.
Oh, wow.
But they must be so disappointing, because the ones in the Pixar movies, especially The Incredibles, are very heavily stylized, and they are, of course, when people look, even if they've seen the film, they'll think, like I did, wow, I haven't actually seen it properly yet, because I never did appreciate how beautiful the chairs were.
Notice the chairs.
Real chairs aren't as good. Real chairs are a massive disappointment, aren't they?
But you are right. Once you pick up on that one detail, whatever it may be, you can't help but notice every other time it comes up.
Yes, yeah, entirely. And you know, the kind of, the Pixar films are great for that, I think. That kind of, there is just so much kind of extra thought goes into them, I think.
Well, you've opened up a portal for people, Jim. This is why you are our Geek of the Week. You've opened up a portal into another world that we didn't even realise was already there in the first place. And by day, you're a designer and illustrator. That's your job.
Yes, yes.
And you've been working on a computer game, because I've looked on your website, it's, what is it called? Big Little Planet. I'm saying
Little
that.
Little Big Planet.
Little Big Planet, because I'm not, I don't keep up with the computer games anymore. I used to. Josie's got a question about that particular game, which I know you.
No, because it sounds bad. Basically, I think it's wonderful. I think it's the most gorgeous, beautiful game. But I always get frustrated because you have to design your own. We don't have to, but you can design your own levels, and I find that. I guess because my job is creative, I suppose when I'm trying to do it, I blank completely. It's like there was a game called Tony Hawk's where you have to skateboard and you can make your own skateboarding pits. And I would just make a circle because I just would be like, I can't do it. There's too much choice. Like, do you have any tips for people who are overwhelmed by the choice?
I think with things like that, it's if you want to kind of find something you like and try and recreate it, I suppose, is a good place to start, actually. It's a good way of kind of, you know, set yourself a kind of goal rather than sitting in front of a blank canvas and thinking, cripes, well, what do I do next? Especially with kind of game design versus, like, because I know you draw and stuff like that, where it's...
I think that's
it's very quick to go from inspiration to something on paper, but...
what's the best level?
I sit in front of the game and think, I've got no idea what I'm going to do next, but...
Yeah, you must obviously have to look at a blank screen and turn it into a screen full of things. That is your job. And in the same way that Josie is looking at a piece of blank paper and filling it with little squiggles, it's taking away nothing, isn't it? Isn't that the job that unites all of you artistic people?
Yes, I suppose so.
He's speechless. You, Jim, are our Geek of the Week because you just said cripes on the radio, which I think is even if you've never made it.
A very nice lady said, don't swear, don't use any bad words.
But the word
cripes,
just,
slimy.
It tripped off your
crivens.
Tongue.
I am.
Jiminy.
I think it's really wonderful that you found something so small and then celebrated it like that. I think it's great.
You join the Hall of Fame, Jim.
Thank you very much.
There are only two of you at the moment, you and Heather. We're hopefully going to have one more next week and one the week after that.
And I'm hoping that in 2 weeks you will all come to the studio and we can just hang out and chat and be friends.
Oh, she said it on air now.
Awesome.
Thank you very much, Jim. As I say, we'll put a link up
to
your incredible Incredibles chair page and people will also have their lives changed by it. Thank you very much, Jim Unwin. Right, we better play a track quickly. Mumford & Sons.
How nice to get to play The Clash on a Saturday morning.
It's always good. Hateful. We had Mumford & Sons before that. Let's just remind people then that our Geek of the Week this week was Jim Unwin, and his website, looking at the chairs on the Pixar film The Incredibles, is up now. There's a link on our Twitter page, so go to at BBC6MusicSatAM. That's what you should do. That's the place to go. That's the water cooler around which you must gather.
And somebody's very, very excited about it already on Twitter. Peter Rhea 13 has said, it's like a virtual DFS. I'm addicted. I'm worried he's just gone on the DFS website by mistake. Like, there's all these chairs. And
You can't buy the chairs in The Incredibles because they're just pixelated, but they are beautiful to look at. And that, what I like about the website is it's just there for you to look at stuff. There's no annotation. It doesn't need any. It's just, here's a lovely chair, and here's another lovely chair, and another lovely chair.
I'd love to know if anyone else was besotted by incidental details in another film.
Yeah.
Like, because I remember I used to work on a TV show called Skins, and the props people were amazing. And so whenever there was a beer that people had to drink, they would invent a brand of beer
and then
write all the blurb on the back of the on the back of the bottle or something. And just that attention to detail used to delight me.
Yeah, it's true. You can get obsessed though. Apocalypse Now, I think, is the film I've seen the most. So different things obsess me each time I see it. Used to obsess me what happened to the Labrador puppy. If you know the film, you know what I'm talking about, because the Labrador puppy appears, stays there and then disappears. What happens to it? The other thing that has
got a new life on the farm.
Yeah, that's all right then. That's all that matters, is that Martin Sheen obviously is very hot because they're filming it in the Philippines, and at one point he's reading some documents on the boat and sweat is dripping off him, and it's quite a close up, and he puts a Marlboro cigarette, sorry to say the brand name, but it's very important, it's iconic, he puts it in his mouth and then a bead of sweat appears on his nose and drips down from his nose onto his cigarette, and I just think, God, I don't even smoke, but that would ruin it, wouldn't it? Sweat on your cigarette. See, that's not important to the film. It's not important to the narrative. It's not important to the larger statements that Francis Coppola and his writers are making. But hey, it obsesses me. So Josie is creating, as she will do every week, a comic strip of the show. The last two are up to look at if you want to go and look at them. Last week's is up there.
I'm going to say it's not my finest hour as an illustrator, but
yeah, we're only a third of the way through.
I'm still in the game.
Also, if people want to suggest things to put in the comic strip, it's clearly based on the show. Just frankly, just suggest them and she'll put them in.
Yes, we've received a text message that says, I'm Maya Holcomb, please play The Associates. Cheers, mate. Firstly, it's definitely not Maya Holcomb because she spelt her own name wrong. And secondly, I don't think Maya would say cheers, mate. She's a very cool baby.
Yeah.
She's
2 weeks and 29 hours old.
This isn't a Spartacus thing.
You can't all pretend to be Maya Holcomb. Although, there's only one Maya Holcomb.
May I say, if people on Twitter want to at us with I'm Maya Holcomb, see if we can get that trending. That'd be wonderful.
If we couldn't get Mitford's trending last week after all the trouble we and all of you went to, I don't think it's easy to get things trending on Twitter.
I think it's really easy. You just have to say it a couple of times.
We didn't though. Last week we got Mitford, hashtag Mitfords. Thousands of people did it. So your favourite new song's coming up. It's The Friendly Fires.
Oh, the bloody Ryanair song again.
Other airlines are available.
And better.
Hawaiian Air.
So, of course, what I like to do is I like to say Ryanair instead of Hawaiianair. And I find it very amusing, ladies and gentlemen.
All the kids are doing it, apparently. So we asked if you are obsessed by details in films, which we are up for. Oh, hang on, you're pointing at a screen. It's got to be good.
S-T-O-P-P-R-E-S-S. We've got a long text from Maya Holcomb. I mean, if anything, I was being needy to a baby, which is particularly unfair to the baby involved.
Babies are supposed to be needy, not humans.
Tell me about not humans.
That's my little joke. Adults is what I meant, obviously. Maya Holcomb is the official baby of the show. Let's play a song and we'll read it afterwards. Or are you prepared to read
I'm ready to read it.
You're not rereading it, you're just reading it.
Mm.
Brave.
I'm ready to do that. I am willing to gamble that a baby is not going to say anything too inflammatory or offensive.
I think you're probably right, especially a baby that is only 2 weeks and 29 hours old.
Dear Auntie JC and Uncle Andrew, super cute. Apologies for my tardiness. Today, my godfathers are visiting for the first time.
How nice.
And I was busy choosing what to wear. I went for a pink number with elephants. What do you think? Bit much for a first visit? As predicted, I've grown out of Belle and Sebastian, but am now all over fool's gold like a nappy rash.
Oh, that's good.
I promise to check in next week. Maya is Shani, new middle name chosen by mummy and reluctantly accepted by daddy. Holcomb. P.S. Are July's always this rubbish? Well, do you know what? They're always up and down. But we've got a lot to teach you about the ways of the world, Ms. Holcomb.
Yeah.
What a lovely text. Thank you so much for playing along with us.
There's no faking that. That is actually her.
She's my favourite baby.
It's true. Well, it's the official baby of the show. Maya Holcomb sponsors this show. So we'll play this. Maybe introduce Maya to a bit of kind of early 90s hip hop. Do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Let's kick it. Let's see.
What a lovely, relaxed morning we're having.
Yeah, it's good, actually. That's Lou Reed. Cypress Hill before that, which we played for Maya Holcomb in our continued help with musical education.
Broadening her out.
Of a 2 week and 29 hour old child. Cypress Hill, I ain't going out like that. This is what parents should say the other way around. You ain't going out like that. We wanted to know if you had odd jobs. We've certainly got some of those still to read. There's a lot of dressing up. This is from someone who doesn't put their name. Oh, yes, I do. It's on Twitter. Alice says, I used to be the furry mascot for a radio station. Saw ex-teacher at one such event. She said she'd always thought I'd do well.
Oh.
Ironic teacher. But usually the dressing up as a furry mascot or banana or whatever it is means that you are anonymous. So usually there's no embarrassment.
Well, but often people punch people dressed up as furry things, don't they?
Yeah.
They think they've got carte blanche to be violent just because you're a little bit shielded.
It's true. Although Dan Davis, 23, not his age, that's his Twitter name, was an office furniture destroyer. It was a temp job. I assume that it was supposed to be the destroying of office furniture. So there you go. Best job ever, he said.
No. He was hired to build it, but after a week of him smashing it up, they were like, we're going to have to let you go. I like this one. In my youth, I waxed Edam in a dark warehouse in Holland for a month. It was surprisingly enjoyable, very zen. Wax on, wax off and all that. Neil in Glasgow.
You see, when you see Edam, or consider it, you don't imagine a person doing the waxing, do you?
It's like a beautiful short story, that.
Nice.
Just imagining him with the red wax glooping out.
It's lovely.
Thinking his own thoughts.
It's true.
I once dressed up as a milk bottle. Not me, by the way.
Yeah.
Although I do have a costume where you can dress up as a California raisin, if you remember those.
if you remember those, you still get raisins, I think.
Yeah, but it's specific.
Oh, okay.
I once dressed up as a milk bottle, aptly named Bobby Bottle. I got asked, I was an actor on one occasion, so I must have done a decent job.
That's excellent, getting into the part.
What the actors, excuse me.
Yeah.
Couldn't help but notice how well you're representing that bottle.
Yeah.
Are you an actor?
It's method. Module Mark on Twitter was a lifeguard on Troon Beach. Now, this is on the west of Scotland, and it's not Baywatch.
By the way, nice to hear from some Scottish people. Hello, Scandinavia of the North.
We do have a penchant for the Scottish, and especially Josie. And
Shut up.
You know it's true. I'm not exactly bringing something new about you out into the open,
just
am I?
Just the music and culture.
Well, that's all right. Enough.
Speaking of which, I read a really, really wonderful book by Ron Butlin, who's the Edinburgh Poet Laureate, and it's called The Sound of My Voice, and it's a novel about alcoholism, and I just wanted to tell people about it because it's fantastic.
That's what you're here for. And Module Mark, when he was a lifeguard on Troon Beach, spent most of the time not actually helping people who were drowning because no one swam on that beach. I don't know if you know Troon Beach, everybody.
I would.
You would, yeah.
You'd swim on it.
You don't care. You like it when nobody else swims, don't you?
Absolutely.
But he did have to spend quite a lot of time, he said, telling angry Glaswegians that their dogs shouldn't poo on the beach. I've changed one of the words in that sentence, as you can might imagine.
Lie Down in Darkness by Moby.
Yeah, you'd never know it was Moby.
No, it definitely doesn't sound like the old stuff. It's a real radical new direction for
big
him.
Big change of direction. Oh, yeah. Oh, some old gospel voices. I'll have some of those. So you're listening to Andrew Collins and Josie Long on Six Music. It'll be the news in a moment. But if you want to get in touch, we should remind you how. andrew.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk if you want to email us.
You can text us on 64046.
Or you can go to our Twitter page, which is at bbc6musicsatam. And that's where people are going. It's the place to be.
It is. I mean, it's a social network. Hub.
It is. And you can go there and tell us anything you want, frankly, and about details in films that you've spotted, things that you do when you're trying to deal with urban situations, odd jobs you've had. There's so much you can do. Mm. It's like a fun pack of a show. And we'll be back after the news.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
That was the Arctic Monkeys with the Hellcat Spangled Shalala.
Shalala.
I got self-conscious then because it wasn't proper words and I'm not a scat singer.
Tom Tom Club before.
Oh.
Who are coming in to be on Lizzie's show next week, we think.
They are. They're coming in a minute to record. And may I also say that was from my dear friend Julie.
Yeah, of course you can.
Who made us that jingle with her band John John Slave. The one that Andrew and Jeff. Anyway, I used to turn cheeses over. I had to turn over 6,000 30-kilo cheeses per week. I never got bored because the following week they all had to be turned back over the other way.
Right.
I did, however, always dream of one day being allowed to wax Edam. What a lucky person.
That's true.
Baz in Norwich.
Wow, the waxing of the Edam is obviously the top. That's for the big cheeses only.
Oh, nice.
You continue to send us your odd job texts and emails, but we have business to do now.
Yes.
Yeah, Josie usually sings at this point.
I'm too shy today, but I'm going to give it a go.
No, you're not.
I am shy. I'm very shy. It's your thing. Come on, everyone.
Do what you want to do.
I mean, I just don't know whether you're repulsed by my voice, listeners, or whether you're joining in, but I assume it's 50-50.
They're just glad it's not me singing. That is the truth of the matter.
No, because last week, Andrew Collins was all like, I'm really good at doing a Tom Waits impression, and then he wouldn't do it, and still, I mean, I'm desperate to hear it. I don't know about whether you would want to tweet or text about how you'd like to hear
it's
that.
It's not singing, though, really. It's speaking, Tom Waits. I'll do that later. It's Your Thing is where we bring in an object of sentimental value and try to divine from each other's objects what they could possibly mean and why they're so important. I'm going to hand you my object now, Josie Long, and you must describe it.
Wow.
So what are we looking at?
Okay, well, I mean, to my mind, this is a piece of outsider art. it's a drawing, and it's on a notepad, and at the top printed on it, it says, make a note of it. And it's sort of a middle-aged man at a cocktail party, looks a bit confused. I mean, it's a cool picture. I'd like to. It's the sort of thing that I would put on my kitchen cupboards. I like to put up pictures on my kitchen cupboards, and it's very good. So I guess it's quite an old piece of paper. I don't think that Andrew drew this because I've seen his... Oh, maybe he did. He's just done a face. I'm just so bad at reading people's poker faces. I can't work out whether he drew this or not. I would either say perhaps this was one of his art projects when he was at art school, or I'd be inclined to think maybe he found this on the street in a pile.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's from a series.
Oh, right? It's a series.
So I can give you the next one maybe it'll start to get a picture of what they're off and it might help you.
I wish I owned this. They're definitely of middle-aged men, possibly in the 70s, at a cocktail party. Oh, the next... I'm really worried that this is the members of a really iconic band and, like, I don't get it because I'm an idiot and you're going to be like, you idiot, there's the Beatles. And I'll be like, oh, gosh, Ringo Starr looks different in real life, i.e. much better looking.
This one might help.
Someone on stage with a microphone. That looks a bit like me, actually, but kind of with a nicer face.
This one might help.
Oh, wow. Okay, I know what this is, guys.
Okay, right.
Guys. We have five pictures here. A young woman with a mic, a man with a cocktail, another man with a cocktail, a man wearing a fez, a woman wearing a yellow dress, and we have a boat on the crest of a wave. And I know for a fact that Andrew Collins has a fascination with the Poseidon Adventure.
Correct. And what these pictures are, Josie Long, they are my drawings aged 10.
From 10?
Done the same week of having seen the Poseidon Adventure at the cinema. In 1975, I was taken to see it for my brother's birthday. He and I were both taken to see it by my dad. And I was so obsessed with the Poseidon Adventure, having seen it. I think it was the most frightening thing I'd ever seen. It's about a liner that capsizes in the ocean. And so what I did to work it out, because in those days, this would be hard for young people to understand, you couldn't see the film again. And so I just drew them from memory. I drew all the characters from memory and all the pictures of the scenes. I've got more, look, all the scenes that I remembered I've drawn.
Oh, wow, can I see some
memory.
More?
Yeah. So what I've basically done is kind of, I don't know what it is really, it was a sort of psychological exercise because I was so upset by the film because it scared me so much that I tried to get it out of my system by drawing pictures.
This is a bit like what savant children do.
Yes.
It's kind of terrifying, but these are really good for a 10-year-old. They're really good. And I'm not trying to flatter you.
It's all right. I was 10. I don't need flattering when I was
good.
10. You, you were very good. Well done.
There's a really good picture here of a ginger waiter kind of shepherding a lady through the water. It's terrifying.
No, that's Red Buttons.
Of course it is Red Buttons.
James Martin, played by Red Buttons, helping
Hang on,
Carol.
Hang on. The man's real name is Red Buttons.
That's his stage name. He's one of the old Hollywood superstars that's in that film.
Listen, if you want to be in Hollywood, you got to get yourself a good name like Red Buttons.
It's brilliant. You never forget it now.
So it's horrifying. What? Did your teachers think you were being abused?
I did this at home. I did it at home. Yeah, I was taken onto the ship that turned upside down. That kind of quite elaborate abuse, yeah. So, yes, there are people falling from gantries into boiling oil. But that's what the film has in it. If you've seen it, it's a kind of, I think it's an A, it's probably a U certificate now. But at the time, it frightened me. I was 10. So there you go. That's what you're looking at there.
It's brilliant.
All right.
I'd go so far as to say this is my favourite thing that you've brought into the right. studio.
Well, you've got a lot to beat then for your next thing, which is coming up after this record, which actually is your is a Scottish record, so it must be yours.
Okay, now listen to me. I've been so controlled. I played Jackie Wilson, who I admit is from Edinburgh, but no, he's not. It's just a little joke. But I am playing James Wilson because it's my choice and he's one of my absolute favourites, and because there's a YouTube video of him playing this song live on German television that I'm completely enamoured by, because he's so in control and he's so himself and he inhabits the music so much, but he's also very shy is the wrong word, but I just think you should watch it. If you look on YouTube, look for James Yorkston, Steady As She Goes, and it's the German television one, and I love this song.
That's James Yorkston, Steady As She Goes. It's time for you to hand me your thing.
Oh, yes. The suspense of whether or not I'm going to sing is killing me.
Go on.
I didn't do it.
Didn't do it.
Do what you want to do.
Okay. Right, I will describe Josie's object, which she's given me. It is a piece of metal. On one side, it's just metallic. It's got four holes in either corner. It's got a bit of blue tack on it. It's obviously been used and put up somewhere. On the other side, quite clear, it says danger, and there is a symbol with an exclamation mark in it. And underneath it says keep out, another symbol with an exclamation mark in it. So this is obviously the kind of thing you get from one of those shops that sells things for the workplace. I imagine that you probably didn't get it for its actual reason, Josie. I imagine it's found its way into your hands through, let's say, ironic or kind of, you know, arm's length kind of reasons. And you thought, oh, that's good. I'll put that up on my wall, maybe in your student bedroom or where you live now. I don't know. So it's obviously been put up on the wall. Or it's something you stole from a wall where it was actually being used to convey to people that there was danger and that they should keep out. It's very difficult to date it. It could have been brought yesterday, is my guess, because it would be the same if you brought it now or in the 90s. I don't know.
This does say several things about, one, how I've kept things very well. I'm really...
Yeah, well done.
I brought this as it's a source of massive shame for me. I sometimes worry that I might be a psychopath, right? And I think I'm not, because I feel a lot of remorse, right? But I was a bit of a... For a little period when I was 12, I was something of a delinquent.
Right.
And near my house, there was a waterworks, and there were these signs all around the fences of the waterworks. There were probably 25 of these signs.
Right.
And I took all of them.
Wow. What, in one go or gradually?
In one go.
Really?
Yeah, because I wasn't very popular at the age of 12 at school, and I kind of thought if I gave them out to everyone, people would be my friends, so I could put them on their doors. But now I think that was a really... stupid thing to do, and
it's true. You were stopping other people knowing that they should keep out of the place where they should keep out.
And people are climbing over the fences, having picnics in there, you know.
All because of you. Did you give them out?
I did. I gave them to most girls in my class.
And did they like you?
No.
Oh,
at that time, I mean, later on, I got the calls, but that's not true. That's simply not true.
It's heartbreaking.
Danger, keep out, and I found it because I moved house recently, and It used to be on my bedroom door as well. Like, I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And now I don't know what to do with it because I can't really get rid of it. It's made of metal. You can't throw things away that are made of that much.
You can recycle metal in the council recycling station.
Hang on. So where do you live? The future?
Yes, I do. It's like The Incredibles where I live.
I go to the council recycling station.
I don't know what it's called. A depot? Is it called? I don't know.
Do you not recycle? You know there are recycling bins.
Yeah, but you can't put that. Well, why haven't you put it out in your bin then? You just told me you couldn't get rid of it. And you seem to know more about recycling than I do all of a sudden.
Oh, my word, it's like being on Question Time. Your logic's all over the place.
I love going down the local amenity place and they've got all the different places to put stuff.
I tell you what, though, I heard something interesting about when people go to the dump with rubbish. You're not allowed to just show up and steal other people's rubbish out of the dump.
Oh, really? Once it's in, it's in.
And once it's in, it's dumped.
Just, it's not a give and take. It's not like a bring and buy sale. That's a shame. Anyway, so we've learned a lot about you from that.
I don't know whether I'm
glad you grew out of that delinquency. And if you think you are a psychopath, you're probably not, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. BBC Six
Music. Across 9th and Hennepin, and all the donuts have names that sound like prostitutes.
That's my Tom Waits impression.
Oh, my word. Tom Waits was just in the studio and he disappeared. Yes, sir.
And the moon's teeth marks are all over it, like a top thrown all over this.
What's he building in there?
Tom Waits impressions all round. So you can't be impressed because you can do one as well. That was Gary Newman.
Yes, please.
And, well, we're having just spoken earlier when we were doing It's Your Thing about how the Poseidon Adventure had a profound and, for a while, troubling effect on me as a child. Maybe you have a film that you saw when young and impressionable that, I don't know, screwed you up a bit, like I did. I went all existential for a while. I was only 10.
Well, I had a similar thing. My mum made me and my sister watch The Elephant Man and Of Mice and Men, right? And
what, together?
It was a horrible double bill.
You can't put mice near an elephant. Do you not know that? Elephants hate mice.
Very good. But we were,
sorry, I've spoiled your story.
No, it was very good. We were sat watching them and me and my sister had to run into the kitchen. We were heaving, weeping so much because we couldn't cope with the fact that there were these films that had sad endings. And The Elephant Man, now, my sister used to have a boyfriend who used to do impressions of The Elephant Man to me. And I am so glad she kicked that man to the curb. Because if you want to ruin things with me forever, just start being like, would you like to see a picture of my mum? Oh my God, the humanity.
You're doing it to yourself.
Oh, it's so unbearable. So those are what really got me, just that and when are we going to see the rabbits? Oh, come on. So what films ruined your childhoods?
Yeah, well, Poseidon Adventure is sad because a lot of people fall to their death while trying to get out of the capsized liner, you see, and 10-year-old, and, you know, didn't like it. So, if you're disturbed at all and you want to help, just share it with the group and we'll make it better for you. andrew.6music@bbc.co.uk, 64046 on the text. An hour to go, plenty of time. BBC Radio 6
Music. Cache number 9, Lost at Sea, which is very apt for our Poseidon Adventure.
Yeah, they weren't lost, they were just stuck in a liner upside down. But
they knew where they were.
Yeah, the sentiment is exactly the same. It was because of, in the Poseidon Adventure, in the novel by Paul Gallico and in the film, it was an earthquake, an undersea earthquake that caused the wave to knock the ship over, in case you're interested. Poseidon Adventure remade, I think, twice for television, and once a new kind of CGI version that came out a couple of years ago. Rubbish!
Well, it's nice to know that formative experience hasn't meant that you're obsessed with the Poseidon Adventure.
No, it's true. I'm absolutely not. It's all over. I don't even know what you're talking about. What film is that? So if you were disturbed by films, let us know, because some people were disturbed by films.
I've got some good ones. This one says, Watership Down, when they're stuck underground in their burrows. Why was that ever a kid's film? Yeah. Now rabbits always look stressed out to me. Katie, drying hair and about to go out in the rain. Cambridge, don't dry your hair then, Katie. Let it be. I like doing that because I'm a very lazy woman. I like to rep women that make no effort with their appearance, even though today I've got a dress on, but in general. And that's a top excuse for not doing anything with your hair, is it's raining.
Yeah, absolutely. Just do it. When I was a teenager, because it was before the days of hair gel and all the products that are now available, and if you were kind of gothically inclined and you wanted your hair to stick up, you pretty much had to use soap. Soap, and it would go hard. And then, of course, it would rain, and soap would run down your face and into your eyes. It was a terrible occupational hazard.
It was
a high-maintenance lifestyle, I can tell you.
What a different country.
It was a different country, past. Yeah. So in this half hour, let's not forget, we are speaking to our friend Johnny, who is somewhere in Scotland.
I know where he is, am I allowed to say?
He is the Pictish Trail, but he's kind of on a Pictish Trail. That's what's so great about him. And he's written us another 30-second song, which is amazing.
Where is he?
Say where he is.
He's on the Isle of Orkney.
Lovely.
I love Orkney too. Where is he? Orkney.
I love Orkney. Yeah, we're going to be talking to him in a couple of songs' time, the first of which is lovely. In fact, probably one of the most famous Northern Soul classics that there is. And I believe I'm right in saying the most expensive record ever sold.
Oh, I love that song. Is it wrong that I love that song? I don't think it's wrong. It feels right.
It is right.
That's Everything, Everything with Photoshop Handsome. What a funny title for a song. And also, what I love about that song is every time I hear a song by Everything, Everything, I'm reminded of the fantastic album by Simon Bookish, which is called Everything/Everything. Simon Bookish is the most genius songwriter of the 2010s.
Why haven't we played him yet?
We're playing him next week.
That's all right then. That's okay. So we're still hoping to speak to our friend Johnny in... he's in Orkney today. He's a bit engaged at the moment, but that's okay. In the meantime, we've got a couple of emails and texts about films that disturbed you when you were young. Another one about Watership Down, in fact, from Katie on the text, who saw it on Christmas Day in 1986. Pretty traumatic, as my aunt's Jack Russell had tried to eat my rabbit Sniffy earlier in the day and she had to be put down. You see, that's no good, is it?
That's an unkind Christmas, isn't it?
The dog later got stuck down a badger set and possibly eaten by a badger. Are you sure that that's true? My aunt now has a Jack Russell called Badger. Life is strange, says Katie, and that is also true.
Art imitates life, yeah. Then life imitates art.
That's the way around.
Someone only has to say lollipops. I can't even do it properly. In that creepy child catcher voice and I burst into tears.
Lollipops.
I'm 13. She said, I'm 39. Love Emma in North Yorkshire.
The child catcher in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang has scared anyone who saw it and would still scare a child. And children today are much tougher than we were. This is from Claire in Oakham.
Speak for yourself. Right. I did some pretty delinquent things.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, you took all those signs down twice. At the tender age of 11, my parents made me watch Threads, a horrific drama about a nuclear bomb landing on Sheffield. Yeah, I remember that horribly. I had nightmares for months for two reasons, says Claire. One, my mother's family all live in Sheffield, for one. Well, that's bad enough. Secondly, the street we live in had a streetlight just outside my bedroom window, which glowed a reddy orange all night. To me, this was a portent of the apocalypse to come. I'm 37 now, and the film still haunts me. Yeah, but we're all still here, aren't we? We're all still here. Sheffield's lovely.
I was terrified of a nuclear apocalypse when I was when I was a child. Yeah. It just plagued me. I used to hide under tables. I used to think it was when the wind blows, that
a cartoon,
cartoon
no less.
That my Raymond parents Briggs. Must have gone, well, put that cartoon on, you know, what can harm them? Snowman, same person wrote it, lovely. Yeah, put true. That on, shut them up. Yeah. And then just these two old people being on their own, facing death. I mean, it's not for kids.
It's not for kids. They get radiation sickness and everything. It's unbearable. Let's cheer ourselves up, shall we? We should all be cheered up by this cut copy, and we hopefully are going to speak to Johnny after this song. If he gets off the phone, get off the phone, man. Who's he on the phone to?
I think it's just that he's on a remote island in Scotland, right. And the reception is scant. That's another song that I like, Where I'm Going, Cut Copy. I think it's
a good song. I'm Andrew Collins, by the way, who just tuned in and wonder who it is.
And I'm JC Long.
Yeah, if you've just tuned in. What did someone say on Twitter about your voice?
Shut up!
All right, okay, we'll move on then. But having played Frank Wilson's Do I Love You, Indeed I Do, which is one of the Northern Soul greats, and I was pretty sure that it was the most expensive record ever sold, and indeed, it's true. In 2009, Jock and Roll on Twitter has pointed us at the story. He's very proud because he comes from Fife, and so does Kenny Burrell, who bought the single for £25,742, because this record came out in 1965, but didn't. So there was only two of it, the original acetate, I think, and then a kind of a pressing for radio. So that's why it costs so much.
They just made two copies.
Well, it didn't actually get released, so there were only two in the world. So one of them went for £25,000.
I'm confounded by the past.
Amazing. A Motown boss, Berry Gordy, according to the BBC report, so it must be true, had all other copies destroyed after Frank Wilson, moved into songwriting and producing. So there you go.
Destroyed all the other copies.
Yeah, that was cruel,
like
wasn't
Herod.
It? So it's nice to know. But this Leicestershire-based record dealer John Manship, who organised the sale, said the buyer wished to remain anonymous. Right? Okay. So it was sold by Kenny Burrell in Fife for that amount of money, but not. We don't know who bought it.
Oh, come on! It was blatantly Frank Wilson. My name is Frank Wilson.
So there you go. And it's one of the great records. And it was on an advert for something a couple of years ago where they tried to spoil it and take it away from us. But I don't remember what the advert was advertising. So they didn't win.
Bad luck advertising, we win. Losers.
We and Motown and Frank Wilson win. So we are going to speak to Johnny.
We've just got a number for him in his hotel in Orkney.
It's good. It's like being on a news programme. We're trying to get through to somebody and get a statement from him. But the statement is, hello, and how's it going in Orkney? We need to know that before we play our 30-second song that he's written for us.
I've got a good job that somebody texted in.
Yep.
Hello, I used to proofread phone books. The Welsh ones are really hard. Emma from London.
Oh, wow, somebody has to proofread everything, you see. This is from Katie James on Twitter, who says, my mum's student job at a sugar factory was to guide every sixth packet of sugar round a conveyor belt bend. She had a special pole. So every sixth packet had to be guided, and she had a pole that did that thing, which is nice. Porky999, of course, on Twitter, said he used to be Mr. Wimpy. Mr. Wimpy was... they still exist, Wimpy, but they were once the only burger chain, I think, in this country. Now, slightly usurped, some might say, by a couple of American ones. But it was a British one. Mr. Wimpy was, I think, he was a beef eater. You're looking at me blankly. I think he was a beef eater.
No, I used to go into the Wimpy's.
He still existed, the beef eater. So that must be who he had to dress up as. And Ali B was a pet monitor at school. So not strictly a job, because I suspect there was no money changing hands for being a pet monitor. And had to look after a sheep, because apparently their class pet was a sheep. That's more than a pet. Wow. That's livestock, isn't it?
I mean, technically.
Yeah, I think so. Is there a lizard called the monitor lizard?
Yeah, they're massive.
So the monitor lizard presumably monitors itself, doesn't it?
Self-monitoring lizards.
Self-monitoring lizard. Sorry, that just pleased me when I thought of it. Sorry.
No, you don't have nothing to apologise for.
How's the college trip going?
Well, it's getting there. I would say it's got better than it was, but it's still, I mean... Listen to me. It's very difficult illustration. It's something you guys are going to have to realise.
Look, it looks like more intense than last week's. It's got a lot more stuff on it, I think, this week's.
It's been an unusual show because it's so gloomy outside, and yet we've played some really lovely music.
Yeah.
I thought because we played Dan Lesac and Scroobius Pip, I could say that Dan Lesac is about to do his first ever solo tour.
Yeah, it's true.
In September, he'll be playing in London at Camp on the 12th, in the Roadhouse in Manchester on the 13th, the Arches in Glasgow on the 14th, the Fleece in Bristol on the 15th, the Haunt in Brighton on the 16th, 17th, Whelan's in Dublin, what a lovely venue that is, 18th, Roisin Dove in Galway, a lovely venue again, 19th, Hare and Hounds Birmingham, don't know it, 20th, but I like Birmingham, 20th, Red Room in Lincoln. So
that's all the tour dates. I imagine you can just go to the website and find out if you didn't take all of those down.
I was trying to be like a super pro DJ.
You really were. The Thievery Corporation next to, I've got a funny feeling, might be post-rock.
Oh,
which
no.
Which is already causing
one of us to... I went to see Godspeed. I was so bored. I had to sit down, sing some words.
Well, let's see how we get on with post-rock.
Blurg.
Only one of us is enjoying this so far. Well, that's not post-rock, is it? We've been sold a puppet. It was quite good. Even Josie liked that. It's not post-rock, is it?
It's definitely not post-rock.
No, so we were told that they were. This came out in 2001, I know that. And now I know everything about them. They're from Washington, D.C. And they are a DJ duo consisting of Rob Garza, Eric Hilton and some supporting artists. Now we know all about them. So there you go. It's good when DJs announce something on the radio as being one thing and it turns out not to be that thing. So we're back after the news. We're definitely going to speak to Johnny in the Orkneys. And between now and then, I'm sure there'll be more texts and emails to read too.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
That was The Horrors with Changing the Rain.
Yeah, I think that's the first track from their album Skying, which is too late to be in the Mercury Prize this year. They've had a Mercury nomination already, but the actual Mercury list is being released on Tuesday, am I right in saying? That'll
exciting.
Be within, I think Huey's doing Lauren's show and she's down at the place where the Mercury's going to be announced, so listen to that.
There's some really good ones on the long list.
Who are you?
I'm Josie Long.
And I'm Andrew Collins, just in case people have just tuned in.
Oh, I Never mind. I was halfway through thinking a thing, and then, well, that's unhelpful for everyone. I'm so sorry. Well,
why don't we just introduce Johnny, who we speak to every week now. I say that as if it's happened for years, but it's about our third time we've spoken to him. He is a songwriting pal, the Pictish Trail, who provides us with 30-second songs, one a week, especially tailor-made for us.
Each week.
And where is he this week?
He is in Orkney. He's doing a tour of Scotland, or he's touring around Scotland currently. And what I thought I'd do is I like to ring him and just pretend to be Scottish people because it's hilarious. So I'm gonna fool him incredibly because I'm gonna pretend to be Tommy Sheridan, the dirty one that had to go to prison. Okay, right.
You ready?
Okay.
Hello, Johnny.
Oh, hello,
hello Johnny. This is Tommy Sheridan, the politician, the shamed politician. I'm just ringing you to ask if you knew anywhere that there were some sunbeds.
Do you know, he never, ever falls for it. Every week.
What are you talking about? He falls for it every time.
He's not falling for it. Listen to him.
The problem is,
did you fall for it?
Well, I didn't fall for it. No, the problem is that your Scottish accent across the board is the same one.
Okay, I'll do it properly. Hi, Johnny. This is...
You can't do it.
No, I can't do it.
You are no Jeremy Beadle.
May I please ask, Johnny, where is my Scottish accent based in Scotland?
I'm not quite sure. I'm going to go southwest.
Very nice.
That's probably because it's the furthest point from where I am now, and if I've offended anyone, then they can't get me.
Now, we are so pro-Scottish on this programme. We're just across the board pro-Scottish. And you are on or in Orkney? What's the correct terminology?
I'm within Orkney.
You're within Orkney.
I am Orkney.
Why are you there this week? We're glad you are in a different place in Scotland every week. It's a pleasing thing, but why are you there?
I thought I'd make a little effort with this show. But the reason I'm here is because I'm doing a gig tomorrow with my pal Katie Tunstall.
Oh, brilliant.
Show as part of this. They have this festival that's not... I'm not quite sure if it is a festival, actually, but it's called the Tall Ships.
Right.
And it involves tall ships.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Do you play on... Ships. Where are the tall ships?
Where are they? Well, they're currently in and around Kirkwall, which is in the sort of middle of Orkney. Yeah, that's where we're doing our gig tomorrow. So, looking forward to it. I hope it'll be okay.
Can I say, if anyone is listening currently in Orkney, just send us a little text or do give us a little shout out.
Yeah, we like to hear from people from Orkney. So, last week you were at Tea in the Park, weren't you?
Maybe that guy who won Big Brother is listening.
Did he come from Orkney? Yeah, I don't follow the program.
It was 10 years ago.
So we asked you once again to provide us with a 30-second song, Johnny.
This week
it's based on the fact that I heard Farming Today on Radio 4 last week, and I understood that there was a man whose job it was just to blow dry spinach before it was harvested by a big harvesting machine. And I like the idea that he was going around the spinach field blow drying. Spinach, that's literally what he was doing, and I liked the simplicity of his job description, so we've been looking for odd jobs ever since, and you were inspired by that.
I was very much inspired by it. I wrote this song and recorded it this morning from my hotel room in Orkney.
Oh wow,
it's just
brilliant. I kind of wish I'd actually done it about a different story now, because although that one is very good, I was in having breakfast this morning across the road, and there was Josie, you know that I'm quite a portly gentleman.
Oh, don't be unkind to yourself.
That's fine. I'm portly. I'm fine with it. But I'm also someone who likes swimming. And there's a newspaper reporter, this person on the front page of this Orkadian Times, who was the first person to swim across like the Pentland Channel, which is like the water between mainland Scotland and Orkney. And she did it in 4 hours. And I'm not, you know, she's quite a large woman. And,
oh, yes. Well, you need to be. You've got to have the casing.
I'm inspired.
Good.
Well, the thing is, Johnny, when me, Johnny, and a comedian called James Acaster, who, may I add, is a star of the future.
He's from Northampton, where I come from.
He's from Kettering, actually, which is near Northampton.
Close enough.
We used to go swimming a lot on tour, and we went on tour in the autumn. So myself and Johnny, who, let's say, have some subcutaneous to look after us, were fine. James, I have never seen a man more tormented. He hated it. He turned blue afterwards. He was shivering. So, you know, there are advantages to not being svelte.
There you go. Well, we're going to play the song now, Johnny. Where will you be next week? Do you know where you're going to be next week?
I'm going to be on the Island of Egg.
Oh, I love it. Back where you belong.
I love Egg too, but where are you going to be?
Isle of Egg.
Where am I going to be on Egg?
Isle of Egg.
You love it. Every week you get me with this long.
Yeah, we'll do it next week. This is then No Spinach Blow Dryer. Thank you very much for talking to us again, Johnny. Have a nice time there.
Love you too.
See
you later, buddy.
Wish I was a man in the greenhouse outside, a hairdryer and spinach in hand. I wanna be the guy with the talent.
to supply. I dry product to the stomach of man. I'm just a 30-second songwriter. A 30-second songwriter. A 30-second songwriter.
That's been our sea-themed, apocalypse-themed radio show today. Yes. Nothing Lasts Forever by Echo and the Bunnymen. Not even the universe, of course, due to the law of entropy. I've really enjoyed tonight. We played Hefner. That was my free choice, and that goes out to anyone who can play it. And
I have a final unusual job, which I think out unusuals all other jobs that we've had today in our odd job call out. This is from Joe. Joe says, I was once working in Iraq as a clown, but that's not the odd job.
Okay.
Right? Met a young man whose job it was, listen away now if you might find this upsetting, whose job it was, I'm giving you a warning, to blow into the slits in the feet of recently slaughtered sheep. To loosen the skin from the body.
Oh, wow.
Odd and fairly unpleasant, says Joe. He said it gave him a permanent sore throat. That puts all the other odd jobs into perspective.
And what a lovely
way to end the show and hand you over to Liz. That's nice. Later on today, John Holmes, of course, at 4 o'clock. Craig Charles at 7, Six Mix at 10, which is another chance to hear Boy George talking to Dave Pearce, which was brilliant. That went out a couple of Sundays ago. Very, very good indeed. So next week, obviously, we'll be talking to Johnny again. Your comic strip, Josie, is nearly finished.
It's nearly finished. I'm just finishing up now.
What we do every week is we scan the picture in, because it's got a lot of detail in it. We put it up onto our Twitter page. So if you want to follow us there, do so. BBC Six Music, SATAM, SATAM. And there you'll find the comic strips from previous weeks as well, if you go and scroll down far enough.
Yeah, I really hope you've enjoyed the show today.
Yeah.
I really have. And we're coming back. We've got two more weeks of this. And it's lovely. It's the best job I've ever had in my life.
It's all right. We'll hand over to Liz with Givers and Up, Up, Up.
Oh, we up, up, up for the glow show. Yeah, we down, down here on the ground. Yeah, we up, 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 love. Yeah, we up, up, up in the clouds. Yeah, we up.